Good afternoon. This is Ed Walsh with the Piatt County Journal-Republican, dated Wednesday, August 21st, 2019. We will begin today's reading on the front page with this article that's under the banner of City of Monticello. The headline reads, Revised MMS Solar Endorsed. For the second time in 3 months, Monticello's Planning and Zoning Board has endorsed a proposed solar farm project at the local middle school. PZB members on Monday voted unanimously to approve a conditional use permit for a 844-megawatt ground-based solar array for the school district. School officials hope that moving the project further from Ridge Point neighbors will now net them City Council approval. With the final say, aldermen denied the permit by a 5-to-1 vote in July after several neighbors testified against a proposal that included solar panels about 260 feet from the closest homes. The new plan moves the plan east and 1,000 feet from the subdivision. In moving the panels onto existing baseball and softball and soccer fields, the developer working with the school has also committed to leveling land south of the school in order to move those fields. I believe we've answered a good deal of questions. We've gone to over 1,000 feet from property lines, said Clean Energy Design Group spokesman James Holtzman. There will be a 6-foot fence. We can put vinyl there. We can put trees there. He also said about half of the homes along the west side of the property would be out of eyesight of the development. Holtzman felt the remainder would not see much of it due to the grade of land and the new ball fields that would be located between Ridge Point and the solar farm. But the increased distance did not change the minds of Dinell and Bruce Payne, neighbors who spoke out against the proposal Monday night. I assume you're going to have security lights at night, high-voltage humming transformer, and acres of 6-foot-high steel is not acceptable to me within a single-family residential zone, said Daniil Payne. And it's unacceptable at our middle school that our kids will look out their windows and see that. Payne felt a better renewable energy plan would be to mount solar panels on rooftops and in parking lot awnings. Holtzman responded the rooftops and awnings would not generate as much power as the current plan, which is sized to provide 90% of the middle school's power needs for up to 25 years. School officials say that would save about $1.2 million over that time span. Payne questioned the savings figure, but PZB board member Michael Beam said even half that savings was worth pursuing. If the price of delivery of electricity is just cut in half, then we will still save $500,000 over 25 years, which is $20,000 a year savings for the taxpayers of this community, said Beam. The City Council will consider the conditional use permit at its next meeting on August 26th, along with 4 other zoning requests that were approved by the PCB on Monday. The rezoning of a 3.23-acre piece of land just east of the middle school to accommodate construction of a 27,000-square-foot indoor sports complex, a conditional use permit needed for the Piatt County Animal Shelter to build a new 3,600-square-foot shelter at 1203 Raymond Road, a variance to allow property owners at 615 South Buchanan Street to replace dilapidated steps with a deck and new front entry, and a rezoning and variance to allow a property owner at 827 East Old Route 47 to annex into the city and hook into the sewer system. Our next article on the front page is under the banner of Allerton Park, and the headline reads, Meeting Set for Children's Garden, August 26th. The public is invited to learn about a proposed Allerton Family and Children's Garden at 6:30 p.m. Wednesday, August 28th, at the Allerton Park and Retreat Center Mansion, 515 Old Timber Road near Monticello. This new space, created with the help of W. Gary Smith and Hitchcock Design Group, is designed to further Allerton's mission of increasing accessibility and engagement, as well as highlight the value of nature, history, and the arts in our community, said the online invite to the public meeting. There is no charge to attend, but RSVPs are needed and can be registered online at www.allerton.illinois.edu. Also on the front page, we have this article. It's under the banner of Recreation, and the headline reads, Meeting Set to Discuss Rec Site. The Monticello Recreation Foundation is holding a community meeting on Tuesday, August 27th, to discuss the possible development of a 30-acre recreation complex along with the fundraising needed to make it happen. The meeting will begin at 7 p.m. at the Monticello Christian Church at 1699 North State Street in Monticello. Who should attend? Anyone who's in a travel league, anyone who has kids participating in rec leagues here in town, anyone who has an interest in youth athletics that would like to see a better facility for soccer teams, ball teams, said Doug Lilly, a member of the MRF board. Nearly everyone agrees the city needs more ball fields. It currently owns just two, and those can only field younger Peanut League games. Other venues the City Recreation Department uses are owned by other entities, including the Monticello School District and Piatt County Forest Reserve. The issue is the cost, pegged recently at $9.2 million to develop the 30 acres of city-owned land near Apple Tree Subdivision into baseball, softball, and soccer fields, a stocked pond for fishing, football practice fields, and a walking-slash-bike path running through it. That's where the Recreation Foundation comes in. The City Council last month gave them the go-ahead to pursue fundraising efforts and report back to the Council in November. Lilly knows $9,200,000 is a large number, but he thinks it can be done. If we go into it thinking we can't, why go into it? I think that's where I'm at with it. So we're going with, if we build it, they will come sort of thing, said Lilly, who also serves as secretary of the MRF. At the August 27th community meeting, the history of the project will be outlined along with current plans, cost estimates, projected timelines. Fundraising goals and grant writing ideas will also be discussed. The land, located on the western edge of Monticello, was purchased by the city in 2009. For more information, contact Lilly at 217-202-2014. Turning now to page A2, we have this article under the banner of Business, and the headline reads, Longtime cook adds restaurant owner to her lengthy resume. Tara Garrett is now a restaurant owner, but don't think that will stop her from spending plenty of time in the kitchen doing what she's done for 20 years, cooking the best pizza in Piatt County. It's something she's taken pride in since the age of 15, starting with Charlie's Pizza in Beaumont and progressing to other village pizza places, including Mama B's, Bacon Pizza, and now her own restaurant, renamed Mama T's Pizza, Pasta, Subs, and More. The joke was when Kim Snyder bought the place and turned it into making pizza that I was sold with the business, said the cook, whom townspeople refer to as the pizza artist. That was just over 4 years ago. When Snyder opted to retire this summer, Garrett decided it was time to own a business outright, purchasing the restaurant located at 144 South Macon Street in Beaumont. The menu will remain similar, but the signature pizza she has created for two decades will get a name change. The creation that features sausage, pepperoni, green peppers, mushrooms, and bacon bits has been known throughout the years as the Beau Charles, Beau Becky, and more recently as the Kimbo, named after the Macon pizza owner. I'm going to call it the Beau Sandy because I'm naming it after my mom who passed away last September, said Garrett, who learned about running a business at the City of Monticello Business Boot Camp. She took ownership of the Bement restaurant on July 31st. A lot of people have told me I should own it anyway, since I've run this place for a while, said Garrett. The menu also includes other styles of pizza. Barbecue chicken is a local favorite, along with chicken wings and a large variety of sub sandwiches. Now that she is in charge of the entire operation, which includes 10 employees, will she scale back on cooking pizzas? Nope, she commented quickly. Mama T's is open for lunch, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mondays through Fridays, and for dinner from 4 to 8 p.m. Mondays, 4 to 9 p.m. on Tuesdays through Thursdays, 4 to 10 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays, and 4 to 9 p.m. on Sundays. Besides dining in, the restaurant offers takeout and delivery. They can be reached at 217-678-7005. Next on page A2, we have this article's headline, DMH Names New CEO. Drew Early, Vice President of Operations for Memorial Medical Center, will become the next president and CEO of Decatur Memorial Hospital, pending the successful completion of its affiliation with the Springfield-based health system. The nonprofit hospital's board of directors approved Early's appointment at its meeting on July 23rd. He is expected to begin his new role on October 1st. Early has been with Memorial Health System and its flagship hospital, Memorial Medical Center, for 13 years. He has served as Vice President of Operations since December 2016, overseeing emergency and trauma services, environmental services, security, facilities design and construction, engineering, food and nutrition services, and biomedical engineering. Early earned his Master of Health Services Administration degree from the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor in April 2006. He received a Bachelor of Science degree in Healthcare Systems Administration from Ferris State University in Big Rapids, Michigan in May 2004. Early and his wife Krista live in Central Illinois and will relocate to the Decatur area. They have three children. The medical staff and hospital leadership have had the opportunity to meet with Early over the last few weeks. We are excited about Drew's selection as our new leader and look forward to introducing him to the community in the near future, Altenbaumer said. Drew represents the combination of leadership and experience that is critical to advancing our board's commitment to positioning Decatur Memorial Hospital to continue to be a leader in providing a comprehensive scope of high-quality, community-based healthcare services. In May, Memorial Health System and Decatur Memorial Hospital announced they had reached an affiliation agreement, which would see the Decatur Hospital become the eighth affiliate of the health system, pending regulatory approval. Decatur Memorial Hospital has more than 2,300 employees. If the affiliation is approved, the hospital would become the second largest hospital in the health system. Full affiliation is expected to occur by October 1st. Over the years, Drew has served at Memorial. He has done an outstanding job of leading and managing multiple service lines at the hospital and coordinating with the health system, said Ed Curtis, president and CEO of Memorial Health System. Drew's solid healthcare management skills will help guarantee the successful integration of Decatur Memorial Hospital into our system, he said. Early's previous experience at Memorial Medical Center includes serving as administrator of cardiovascular and emergency services, director of business development and support, and administrative fellow for the health system. He began his career with Memorial in June 2006. Early co-chairs of the Integrated Task Force as Decatur Memorial Hospital transitions to an affiliate of Memorial Health System. I've had the privilege over the last few weeks to meet many of the people at Decatur Memorial Hospital, Early said. I've been impressed with the hard work everyone is doing to ensure their patients receive great care. I'm optimistic about what they will be able to accomplish together as we serve the healthcare needs of the people of Macon County and its nearby communities. Early will assume the role of Decatur Memorial Hospital President and CEO Tim Stone, who is stepping down upon completion of the pending affiliation after 24 years of service. He joined the hospital in 1995 as Chief Operating Officer and has served as President and CEO for the last 4 years. Drew's engaging, collaborative, and high-energy style will help our high-quality Decatur Memorial employees sustain and improve our performance, both from within the hospital and also through our affiliation with Memorial Health System, Altenbaumer said. Our next article for today is headlined, Yoga Business Moves Downtown. A Monticello yoga business has opened a permanent location. Yoga Off the Square operated as a pop-up in downtown Monticello for a long time, but it now has a permanent location at 208 West Washington Street. Owner Josie Heck, who teaches classes with the assistance of Jane Coupler, said she moved into the space on June 1st. We also have two more teachers who will start in August, Lori Lilly and Danielle Click, said Heck. Yoga Off the Square offers at least one class a day with two classes on Saturdays. If you have never tried yoga, you can come in and try a class, Heck said. If you drop in to do yoga, a class costs $12. Heck describes her classes as beginner-friendly. Her customers range from babies to an 80-year-old. But we also offer class packs, she said. Students can buy a class card with 5 classes for $55 or 10 classes for $100. Yoga Off the Square also offers senior discounts. Heck said she started doing yoga 8 years ago. I was looking for a fitness routine, she said. I was on vacation and took a class a day that was immediately eye-opening. Heck said she believes there is a strong market for yoga in Piatt County. There is a need for a yoga studio in Monticello, and the town doesn't have anything like it, she said. The people of Monticello have been beyond wonderful. Next up, we have this announcement. It's just entitled, New Owners. Jaron and Alicia Magsman are the new owners of Ducky Daycare in Monticello. The new owners have added a pre-kindergarten curriculum and expanded before and after school offerings. Additional information is available by calling Ducky at 217-762-2525. A full story on the ownership change will be printed in next week's Journal Republican. Our next article is headlined, Automotive Owners, Combined Forces. Two Monticello residents with their own businesses have joined forces to add a third firm to their empire. Jared Valentine has owned Valentine Automotive at 826 Old Route 47 in Monticello since January 2017. It's a garage where vehicles are repaired. Corey Levitt owns the Piatt County Collision Center at 1201 Bear Lane, an automotive body shop. The two of them have created a third business, Assured Towing, next door at 1202 Bear Lane. With the same customer service and fair pricing that both of the first two businesses proudly execute, you can be assured that your towing and recovery needs will be met with the same standards, Valentine said. The familiar faces you know and trust will now be there to help meet more of your automotive needs. We will offer 24-hour towing as well as roadside assistance. In-town tows start at $75. For more information, call 217-729-0078. And now, turning to page A5, under obituaries, we have just one obituary this today. Richard Dick Carl Skagenberg, 95, of Monticello, passed away at 9:48 a.m. on Saturday, August 10th, 2019, at the Piatt County Nursing Home. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to the Piatt County Nursing Home, Kirby Medical Foundation, and Monticello United Methodist Church, and Harbor Light Hospice, or a charity of the donor's choice. A public graveside service will be held at 10:30 a.m. Saturday, August 24th, at Bement Township Cemetery, with Pastors Kathy Sweet and Russ Smith officiating. Military rites will be conducted by the Monticello Honor Guard. A celebration of life and fellowship will be held at the Monticello United Methodist Church immediately following the graveside service. Arrangements are by Howe and Yockey Funeral Home in Shelbyville, Illinois. And now, returning to the news and views, on page 8, we have this article headlined, DeLand Homecoming Car Show set for weekend of August 30 and 31st. The 2019 DeLand Homecoming Car Show will be held from 3 to 7 p.m. Saturday, August 31st, around the park in DeLand. Interested parties wishing to display their car, truck, or SUV may register from 3 to 5 p.m., and awards will be presented shortly before 7 p.m. The winning entries will be determined by peer voting, and there is no fee to enter. Dash plaques will be presented to the first 40 show entries, and all entrants will have a chance at winning door prizes generously donated by show sponsors. Along with the car show, attendees of the homecoming can expect to find plenty of other activities for all ages. On Friday evening, the Feudin' Hillbillies will return for their second annual Hillbilly Homecoming performance from 9 p.m. to midnight. The day, on Saturday, will get underway with a parade. This year's theme is At the Movies. Lineup for the parade starts at 9:30 a.m. with judging occurring at 10 a.m. and step-off at 10:30 a.m. Throughout the park, there will be various events such as a bags tournament, kiddie tractor pull, bounce houses, bingo, music on the park stage, and kid and family games to keep everyone entertained. Raffles for kid and adult items will be drawn all afternoon, with a grand prize drawing at 7 p.m. Various food vendors will also be on site, along with local organizations selling food and drinks. The day will wrap up with the music of Andy Moe from 8 to 11 p.m. The village of DeLand will see its 63rd homecoming this year, bringing together neighbors to celebrate a close-knit community. The Atterbury family started hosting car shows at the DeLand homecoming in 2006 after Larry Plotner retired from that role. He left some big shoes to fill, but great attendance year after year has resulted in successful events, even between rain showers from Hurricane Isaac's remnants in 2012. If you would like more information about the DeLand homecoming, please call 217-778-1665 or send an email to DelandCelebration@gmail.com. Our next article is under the banner of Lodge 58, and the headline reads, Masons Hold Their Annual Fishing Derby. Fraternal Lodge 58 held its fourth annual fishing derby this summer at Lodge Park in Monticello. This year's event was attended by 31 children and 36 parents. The event started with a talk and demonstration by Jeremy Stoddard, a professional fishing guide from Heartland Guide Services. He talked about basic fishing guidelines and fishing laws in the state of Illinois. After that, the children were provided bait and converged on the pond for 90 minutes of catch and release fishing. After the fishing was completed and the official catch tally was done, 175 fish caught. Prizes were awarded in three different age categories, for most fish caught and largest fish caught. The winners of the most fish caught were awarded fishing poles, and the winner of the largest fish caught was presented a $20 gift certificate for Bass Pro Outlet. All of the children present received a prize from the door prize drawing. After cleaning up, lunch was served to the children and their parents. Winners of the most fish caught in pre-K through first grade were Rylan Gill and Jonah Davis. Second and third grade winners were Delaney Heckman and Landon Carlisle. Fourth grade and above winners were Kaylin Murphy and Hunter Barton. Owen Albrecht was the winner of the largest fish caught, a 15-inch bass. Also receiving prizes for being the youngest fisherman were Alexandra Pruski and Wyatt Murphy. Next up is this article headlined, Girls on the Run Set. Girls on the Run of East Central Illinois' registration for the fall season is now open. Girls on the Run is a physical activity-based, positive youth development program that inspires girls in 3rd through 8th grade to be joyful, healthy, and confident. The volunteer-led program brings together groups of 8 to 15 girls for a 10-week program that encourages personal development, team building, and connection to the community. Girls on the Run of East Central Illinois has inspired girls in the 7-county area for 14 seasons and has impacted the lives of 2,512 girls. This season, Girls on the Run will be offered at 17 locations. For a complete listing of program sites, please visit our website. Each team will meet 2 times a week for 90 minutes after school and participate in research-based lessons that use dynamic discussions and fun running games to teach life skills. The season will culminate in a 5K event that brings together family, friends, and community members to celebrate the girls' growth throughout the season. The program fee for the fall 2019 season is $100, and scholarship funding is available to those who qualify. The program fee includes registration for the end of season 5K event, which includes a finisher medal, in addition, a program shirt, a water bottle, 20 lessons taught by trained coaches, and healthy snacks at each practice. More information about the program and registration can be found on the Girls on the Run of East Central Illinois website at www.girlsontherunECI.org. And finally for today, we have this article headlined, Online Use on the Rise at Allerton Library. While more traditional methods of library use are still popular, online access jumped among Allerton Public Library users for the fiscal year that ended June 30th. Checkout of physical materials found in the library totaled 74,157 in 2018 and 19, compared to 81,463 the previous year. Online access to library information, however, increased significantly in several areas, led by a total Facebook reach of 124,150, an increase of 16,000 year to year. Most of the Monticello Library's e-book offerings also increased in popularity last year. We have a new generation of people who only want to read online. I think this is a natural progression, with the exception of children's picture books. I think our library had an increase due to adding Hoopla, and then in June we began adding individual ebook titles to the RB app, which are only for our local patrons, said Library Director Lisa Winters. Hoopla gives library users access to some 311,000 ebooks and nearly 70,000 audio books. Added in May of 2018, users checked out 1,105 audiobooks over the past year. In-house materials continue to be the most popular method of reading, however. Winters feels that programs held at the library, which attracted 3,600 youth in fiscal year 2019 and more than 5,500 in 2018, keeps interest in physical books high. This has been the Piatt County Journal Republican, dated Wednesday, August 21st, 2019. I look forward to reading with you again soon. For Illinois Radio Reader, I'm Ed Walsh.